pad up. It's the Australian Cricket Podcast, and here are your hosts.
Hi there, listeners, and welcome to a special mid-candy test report. I'm joined for this special edition of the show by Gav. How are you, Gav?
I'm well, yourself?
Yeah, I'm really good, but what an absolutely amazing test matches that's unfolding over in Kandy at the moment, with Australia still 196 runs behind Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka batting in their second innings, trying to set Australia a total. Australia needs 4 wickets to wrap up the Sri Lankan innings. Have Sri Lanka scored too many already, Gav?
It's easy enough to say. I mean, chasing in the fourth innings in the subcontinent, it's always difficult. I mean, a lot of people have drawn back to the test match last year at Palakkale when Pakistan chased down 382. But it was a different style of pitch. They had Yunus Khan, an experienced campaigner. So I think 220, 225, we're getting into a red zone for Australia. We don't wrap up those four tail enders very quickly. I think we might be in a bit of trouble. But the pitch, it seems to be slowing down. But again, chasing it on that sort of pitch where you're going to get a ball with your name on it sooner than later is going to become a difficult proposition.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wicket and thinking it hasn't broken up as much as it might have because of the rain that was around the first couple of days. Yesterday afternoon, the third afternoon, I actually thought it looked okay to bat on, probably the best conditions that you'll find in a test match.
Yeah, the ball had worn out as well. I mean, it was about 40-50 over ball. And then what happens generally is because it started to puff up, once the ball loses its hardness, it doesn't really grip on that surface. There's so much friction on it with a lot of the powdery stuff up on the surface. And sometimes that means the ball does spin, but it actually spins quite slowly. And I think we saw that yesterday. I think, you know, if the Sri Lankan batsmen weren't picking up length, they were still good enough to go back and then adjust. I thought Nathan Lyon bowled pretty well. I mean, he looked threatening. Just in the half chances probably didn't go Australia's way. Look, it's not as easy as it is. I mean, Mendes is batted absolutely beautifully. But that comes with subcontinent experience. Can our batsmen actually do that when there's going to be pressure? And of course, Rangana Herath, who is another experienced bowler, he knows how to bowl in these conditions probably better than anyone else.
The test match took a massive swing with that maiden test century for Mendes. When Stark took a wicket with the second ball, I think, of the third morning, I thought perhaps Sri Lanka were just going to fold like a pack of cards and be all out for something like we saw in the first innings where they were dismissed for 117. But you look now that Sri Lanka have managed to make 6 for 282, and Mendes has scored 169 of those runs. It has to be one of the best maiden test centuries I've ever seen.
Well, especially coming against Australia, the likes of Stark, as you said, Nathan Lyon, Stephen O'Keefe's bowling loss. You've got to put that in perspective as well, but taking nothing away, I thought the intent he showed when he got out to the crease, there wasn't a fear factor. Once Australia bowled a couple of bad balls, he latched onto them, converted them into force, and he got the scoreboard ticking over. It would have been easy for Sri Lanka just to be, you know, looking to defend, negotiate that second new ball, but he sort of, not in a calculated way, and in a very smart way, he went after the new ball, he scored the runs, and that put the Australians under pressure. All of a sudden, they were on par with well, pretty much Australia's first innings total, and after that, the run slowly built. I still don't know why David Warner was given a bowl. I think it was before lunchtime. I think that over went for about 12-14. These couple of overs, I know we're looking for a breakthrough, but they cost a lot, and it just allowed Mendes. I think the moment for me was when Mitchell Marsh bowled one down on leg stump, and he just blocked it, and Mitch Marsh kicked the ground in disgust, and Mendes just looked up and just had a wry smile, almost to say, I'm winning this battle. These guys are getting frustrated, and that to me was probably the highlight, or that summed up what Mendes' bat had done to the Australian attack.
It's just a breathtaking innings. When you consider the next highest score in the test match thus far has been Adam Voges, 47, and he's 169 not out. It's really just not only turned this match around, but really turned the series around now, because Sri Lanka are in such a strong position going into the fourth day. Australia looked like they were going to dominate this test and series, and it's been a real turnaround. Can the Australians chase down a 220-230, Gav?
That means we need to bowl them out in the next 20-odd runs, which is quite possible. I mean, Mendes is key, but I think the new ball, again, will prove to be, you know, it will make a difference. I think we can nab those couple of early. I think after this is Herath and a couple of the other guys who will just swing the willow around. So that's going to be interesting. Once it gets past that 230 into that 240 mark, it's going to get very difficult, Mendes. I mean, Steve Smith's going to be the key. Warner coming back, does he have enough practice? And I think the mental game is there, but sometimes you need the conditioning, you know, the mental pressure to absorb it. I mean, the critical part will be to face Herath, because I think he'll bowl predominantly right from the start. We've got a couple of left-handers there as well. And on this pitch, surprisingly, it's been the leg spinner who I think will be difficult to face. I know the ball is coming on, but Sandakan, I thought, bowled beautifully. His googly was difficult to pitch, as we saw. But it just depends. In the first 40 overs, we cannot just go thrashing about. I think the runs will come from 40 overs to 80 overs. So in the first 40 overs, with the hard new ball, we cannot be... basically can't lose Steve Smith, but we can't be more than two or max 3 wickets down, because if we are, I think it's going to be a long afternoon for Australia.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not so confident about us chasing much over 200. It's going to be really difficult. We certainly have the batsmen up the top of the order to get us over the line, but the way we performed in the first innings, it seemed to expose a lot of those scars on these slower wickets. Warner's shot, Smith's shot. Let's talk about Smith's shot, actually, Gav, because while I've got you, you know, what was it, the second over of the day, second morning, he charged down the pitch to Herath and missed it by a mile. It sort of changed the whole tone of Australia's first innings. Is that too critical on Smith?
I'm just going to compare that shot to what Joe Root did last week against Pakistan in that match at Lord's, where England were rocketing along at 1 for 120 and played a horrendous long sweep. And you know what happened to the result of that test match? Pakistan went on to win. It's following the similar trend here. Steve Smith's shot was, I mean, out of this world. I mean, he was nowhere close to the pitch of it. I'm not sure what was going on through his mind, and could potentially cost Australia this test match. Warner's, I'm not really, you know, unimpressed with Warner's shot. I mean, it was there to be hit. His balance wasn't right, but that's execution. I don't think there was nothing wrong with the way he played that shot in terms of mentality. I mean, Neville probably played a bad shot, but rest of it, it came through some pretty good bowling. I thought even the Sri Lankan pace bowler, they bowled good lines as well. Yes, Steve Smith's shot was bad and Neville's shot was bad, but rest of them, we just couldn't face up, play the Sri Lankan spinners.
Now let's focus on the Australian spin bowling in this match, because we've had two significant events happen yesterday. Let's start with the bad one first. Stephen O'Keefe limped off with a leg injury. That certainly puts a question mark over his involvement, not only in this test match, but the rest of the series. That's a big blow for Australia. Who would be the next spinner to come in if Stephen O'Keefe's unavailable?
Well, I think you've got to go like to like, and probably John Holland's the man. I mean, he's with Agar, who is probably on the fringe, but I'm not sure about his bowling on the subcontinent. But he's out with a shoulder injury, so that probably brings John Holland into the picture. I'm not sure. If you've got to pick a wrist spinner, it's between Fawad Ahmed and Adam Zampa. I mean, Zampa's so impressive during the IPL. He has been during the CPL. But has he got a lot of that longevity in terms of, you know, the four-day match or the sort of five-day matches?
Well, you can't pick a guy averaging almost 40, 50 at first-class wickets. That would make a mockery. If Zampa would have come in, I think maybe, as you say, Holland or Fawad Ahmed, who has had two or three consistent Shield seasons without being world-beating, and he's struggled with the Australian cap on in the past. But at least Fawad Ahmed's not some young bloke that could get absolutely torched by the Sri Lankan batsman and get some scars for the future.
Yeah, and the other aspect is also Nathan Lyon. I mean, look, I feel, in a way, Nathan Lyon's, because of our batting on the subcontinent, has never had a big total to bowl at. I mean, this was his great opportunity, and I think maybe Steve Smith went to him a little bit too late. I think a little bit more pace reliant again. I think Nathan Lyon would have been really effective with that hardish new ball around even the 10th over mark when O'Keefe was introduced. He did a lot of his bowling after about the 30 overs, and I thought almost Steve Smith could have put him into the attack early. I mean, Nathan Lyon's averaging 45, and he's played about 12 or 13 tests now in the subcontinent. So perhaps there's some issue with the way he bowls in the subcontinent as well, because clearly Stephen O'Keefe was the better bowler than Nathan Lyon in this test match as well. So there are a couple of, you know, glaring facts that we, or issues that might, you know, come to the surface depending on what the result is of this test match. And we might need to look, you know, sort of a little bit outside that zone as well. And I still think, I mean, if you're going to go like to like, you have to pick John Holland.
Yeah, he'd be a popular choice with our Victorian listeners. So as you brought up Nathan Lyon, we have to mention he became the first Australian finger spinner to take 200 test wickets, an amazing achievement, despite some criticism throughout his career at various times, being dropped a couple of times. But Nathan Lyon yesterday took 2 for 98, and I thought looked a little bit easy to play for the Sri Lankan batsman on a pitch that was giving him a little bit of assistance. As you say, Gav, it just, his record on the subcontinent is not good enough at the moment.
Yeah, and as I said, I mean, look, if Australia can post 500 in the subcontinent sort of first innings, that would give him a real chance to really bring him into the game. We've seen that in Australia. When our batsmen have scored about 450, 500, then he really comes into the game. He's got a lot of runs to play with. But unfortunately for Nathan Lyon, the batsmen have not been able to post that score. So he's bowling to sort of, you know, the 150 or 200 totals. He's coming on to bowl when the opposition's already got 30, 40 with plenty of wickets in hand. So he's under a lot of pressure, so he probably doesn't get the feels that he wants as well. But yeah, there, I just don't see, I mean, subcontinent, he's so, in a way, the ball turns all the time for him, and I think that might be a little bit of the issue. So there's, he
too
doesn't
much
quite
turn.
Have that variation.
Yeah, I just think it was a really difficult afternoon for the Aussies yesterday, but it set up the rest of this test match absolutely for a thrilling climax.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, I know we bowled about 80 overs, and I mean, Mitchell Starc is our go-to bowler, and he only bowled 12 overs yesterday. Look, I know he's coming back from injury and all, and we might win the test match, but geez, I mean, he's the best, well, if you choose the four bowlers, he's probably the best bowler, and he's only bowled 12 overs, so I know there's all this injury management and all that, but, you know, for Australia, we're trying to win this test match, and I thought it was a bit baffling that he only bowled 12 overs yesterday.
Well, I think there was a few things that actually were baffling yesterday from Steve Smith with his bowling. One of them, I thought, was leaving Mitchell Marsh. He came on like fourth changed in the end. You had Starc, Hazelwood, O'Keefe, Lyon, Warner and Voges all getting the ball before Mitch Marsh. I thought that was very strange.
Yeah, but look, I mean, look, it's already happened now. Australia's got to look to the future. They've got to, you know, I think bat sensibly. Look, I thought we tried to bat a little bit too like a subcontinent team in the first innings. Really, apart from Smith, no one came down the pitch. I mean, yes, Voges did. There was rarely, barely any sweeps played apart from when Nathan Lyon got out to the wicket. So utilise those shots. I know you're playing them across the line, but if that's your strength, back to your strength. So if you want to sweep, you should sweep. I think we've just gone into a conservative mind. We're trying to play like a subcontinent team. Just open your shoulders, be relaxed, and play your natural game. I think we're so scared of what might happen that we're trying to change our dynamics, trying to get away from our attacking style of cricket. I know it hasn't worked in the past, but if you keep working at it, it's going to, rather than totally changing your technique.
Well, Gav, you sound like Darren Lehman there, and I think it's a fitting way to end this little mini podcast with your excellent pep talk for the Australian side. I totally agree with you. They have to go out there and be aggressive from the beginning, especially Warner against the new ball. If they can get off to a decent start, then Australia might be able to chase down what's going to be a very tricky total. Enjoy the rest of the test match, Gav. We have been so far thrilled by Mendes. I wonder what will happen today. And thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll catch up next week for a full studio show and review the Candy Test match and look ahead to the second test match. Thanks, listeners, and enjoy the cricket.
What a marvellous stroke. He's played no better shot than that in the whole of the series.